Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and Titans training camp, 615-737-1025. Shane in the borough on the text line says, hey, Joe, does all this play-by-play of NFL practice rank up there with the play-by-play of an AHL hockey playoff game? Asking for a friend. This from Shane in the borough on the text line.
Interesting.
I do not know Shane.
I'd like Nick Keiser's answer to that question.
I do not know Shane whatsoever. No affiliation.
But you could take that a lot of different ways, you know? I mean, to me, that's sort of a show of support for some, like, if we're going to complain about that, right? What about all this stuff? It is, like, if you're on X, you follow a lot of sports writers. It is amazing how, like, in the last week, all of a sudden it's like, oh, my gosh, I don't care that blah, blah, blah just had a 9-yard touchdown run, quote-unquote touchdown run, shorts and shells. And yes. I try to contribute very lightly to that, but, hey, I've had some of those tweets.
Just do play-by-play, the whole thing.
I mean, some people do. Like, especially, like, some of those days, that's the thing. Like, on fan days, we can tweet – you know, throughout, because obviously on other days you have to wait until the end. If you wait until the end, you're only sending out like a tweet or two with a recap, right? Which is the best way to do it. But when you can do play by play, it's like, oh man, blah 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 blah, and then this happened and this happened. Yeah, man, it's too much. But
you can take the Greg Allman Twitter play by play approach of Tannehill incomplete, 2nd and 7.
But
Tannehill,
I will
incomplete, 3rd and 7.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say this. At least this is something everybody isn't watching. I mean, it's still a much, much greater crime to do what a whole bunch of people in the NFL, college football, whatever else do, which is tweet all this play-by-play. If anybody who would possibly care is watching the game.
Yes, no question about that. So, speaking of training camp, Joe, you have your 5 most impressive training camp performers to date as we sit here on August 1st. Obviously, still very early into training camp at this point, but who has stood out to you the most at Titans training camp to this point?
So this is subjective, okay? Because this is almost like, as we've discussed before, XL 102 in my former hometown of Richmond, Virginia. You know, if they used to do the top 300. You know, classic rock songs. It was awesome, right? Every summer, the countdown. And this is back in the day when I had cassette tapes and I would record it. I would play it on the radio, my little boombox, and I would record it on cassette tape so I could get, like, awesome tapes of great songs. Okay? That's how old I am. But Stairway to Heaven and Freebird were not part of it. Okay? So I don't remember, like, what number one. Possibly a Beatles song. I mean, the Beatles were all over the top 20, of course. But Freebird, Stairway to Heaven, just those are out of the rotation. So all that is to say, like, Derrick Henry, you know, like, I'm not, you know, he actually is. He's out there doing some team stuff, by the way. He was out there in pads yesterday taking some handoffs. Not a lot, but a little bit. He's out of there. Jeff Simmons, I'm not counting him, right? I'm not counting Jeff Simmons. Just because we know what he is, right? I'm also not counting Ryan Tannehill. And don't even get me started on the whole, oh, Tannehill, oh, the story of camp is Tannehill looks good. Oh, you know, I mean, he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he's been good. He's thrown, I think, a pick or two, right? I think out there. So not going there. So take those, I guess, top and Byard too. Okay. I mean, I guess if I keep talking myself through this, we can get that's
anybody else?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that's like, would you add anybody else to that?
No, I think that's good.
That's probably your quartet of, yeah, we know what they are. We know they're good. If they're on the field, they're going to be good. Okay. So, number one for me is Treylon Burks. And I want to be careful to, again, give the disclaimer as much as you can give the disclaimer of what time of year it is, how early it is in camp, and how football hasn't really started, all that stuff. But just like Johnny Glennon was talking about earlier, it's visible. It's very easy to see. and the contrast with a year ago is pretty stark. And he brought up a good point. I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but it's like, think of somebody who you saw as a rookie and you were like, oh boy, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh. Now, I did argue with Glenn, and I said, you know, let's not forget the Green Bay game last year. Let's not forget the TD in Philly, and then he gets hurt. Like, we did start to see it. You know, we started to see why he was drafted, and anybody who watched him in Arkansas, you knew he had the ability to be a good NFL receiver. But there's no doubt to me right now. I mean, to me, if you had to take an individual and say, okay, that is a big story in camp, I think you have to start with him. He looks he looks awfully good. Next up, I'm actually going Christian Fulton. And the funny thing is with Christian Fulton is that he's been – I mean, he has been picked on and actually has lost some of those battles. As we've talked about, when you lose a battle in individual as a cornerback or as a defensive back, yeah, you know, the deck stacked against you. And yes. Like yesterday, I talked earlier in the show about the PI. I mean, he just – grabbed D-Hop in the corner and prevented probably a touchdown pass from Tannehill. Overall, though, the physicality, the speed, everything, he looks like a number one cornerback to me, and he's getting good work. That's the interesting thing is because Burks has come on the way he has, and then you add DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Fulton is often in some really good matchups, and I just really like how he has looked out there. I think, you know, hashtag if healthy, and we'll see where it goes from there. But right now it looks like he's responding well. You can kind of tell with stuff like this too. You know, Mike Vrabel sometimes gives you hints, and the way Vrabel has talked about him, and including about the weight gain and how it has helped him, you know, I think that right now he's on track to really – have a good year, and this is a huge year for him. Just like it's a huge year for Tannehill, you know, it's a huge year for him. And I know, right? I mean, I don't have great deep cuts here, but you know, Arden Key is where I'm going next. Arden Key has absolutely come out here, and as we've talked about, he's really been all over. Andre Dillard. For sure, he's given him a ton of looks. He really, I think, is going to add something. You know, people have asked, you know, like Arden Key, what's the difference between him and some of the other guys? Like, you know, even like Bud Dupree. Arden Key, he is very slight, and so I mean, I think he's a specialist. So you have to keep that in mind. But obviously, they're doing a lot of pass rush, pass pro reps, and then when they're in teams, he just looks like a guy who is going to help the pass rush. And obviously, as we've discussed, he's got a ton of energy, a ton of juice out there. And so far, these guys are out there playing in 98 degrees, and the energy from that defense has not waned. And I really think that guys like Key and Simmons are so big there with the way they bring it every day. I'm going Harold Landry next, and it's not like – now, again, this is sort of in the context of his situation.
Right.
But I think he's got to be here, right? I think he's got to be here because he is off that ACL, and I just like yesterday, the bull rush I talked about earlier on the show against Dillard. These guys are picking on Dillard right now. They're, you know, trying to help him get better. He's gotten bigger for sure. Bigger and stronger, there's no doubt about it. And he doesn't look limited at all to me. I mean, I guess you could be worried about it, but ultimately, I mean, he said when he talked, whatever day it was, he described his knee as, quote, damn near perfect. And yeah. So the rehab seems to have gone as well as it could have gone. He also worked on his strength more, and I do think you're going to see a little bit more maybe, you know, speed to power and just some bull rushing and things like that from him. He's obviously always had that outside move, but I think he's going to be a little bit more of a physical force being able to go inside on guys now. And that should be good. And again, this is the time of year. I mean, as I talk through these things, you know, I'm describing a 15-3 team in a 17-game season. I realize this. Okay.
You are.
The fifth spot, there's a lot of options. I mean, look, Chig looks really good out there, and there's a lot of possibilities. I mean, a lot of DBs are – I mean, look, I think McCreary has done a lot of good things. I am going to go with Kyle Phillips, though. Coming out of the spring, as TD pointed out on this show at one point, you know, it was kind of surprising a little bit how little work he got in some of the team stuff. And now that we're in training camp, you have these longer practices, you have these individual drills. So, again, it's very, like, you know, it's not fair to Kevin Byard to line up against Kyle Phillips and be like, here you go, in a one-on-one. And he absolutely left him in the dust. I mean, that's what he does. But he looks every bit as quick and sharp turning and change of speeds and shifty and just cooking people out there. And so I think that's a great sight for the Titans, because I just think that he is going to be a really nice option, especially for a team that may have protection issues. To have a guy like that as an outlet is a big deal. We're going to see if he can take the punishment and all that, if the added weight is going to help him. But I don't think the added weight has hurt what he does best, and that's a big deal.
So Joe Rexroad's top five training camp standouts to this point: Treylon Burks, Christian Fulton, Arden Key, Harold Landry, and Kyle Phillips. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of training camp, make sure you tune into the Chase McCabe Show and Caroline Willie and D-Mace today as they broadcast live from Titans training camp. They'll get player interviews and deliver the latest updates with Titans practice as the team preps for the 2023 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, and Caudill Vet Clinic. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. The Game Summer Ticket Tour is headed to Streetcars Taps and Garden, located at 4916 Charlotte Pike, this Thursday afternoon from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free sounds, Preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. Also a chance for you to get signed up for the grand prize, which is Titans tickets, Preds tickets in the 501 Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to sound waves. Black Tie Moving delivers the Game Summer Ticket Tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser here with you, taking your thoughts on the Titans. So Joe Rexroad has laid out his list, his top five training camp standouts to this point: Treylon Burks, Christian Fulton, Arden Key, Harold Landry, and Kyle Phillips. So Cameron on the text line says, guys don't just become pass rush stars several years into their careers. I'm assuming talking about Arden Key coming over from Jacksonville to the Titans in a bigger role this year.
Yeah, I asked him, and he said Key, and then he said people are dropping their pants over this guy in training camp, and he's never done anything. Well, it's not that he's never done anything. He has 11 sacks in the last 2 years. He found something recently, right? So he has progressed. Now, that's the thing. It's funny. We talked about Burks. Like, wow, when have you ever seen someone, you know, the light go on like that 1 year to the next? I mean, Key's an example of a guy who I would say absolutely was disappointing earlier in his career, right? Seems to have improved. Look, we're talking practice right now, Cameron. So again, I'm not projecting double digit sacks from Arden Key, but I think he has demonstrated some progress in that way in actual games in the last 2 years, and he looks good. I don't know what to tell you. He has a variety of moves. He has endless energy. He is slight, like I said, and that's why he's really been a specialist his whole career. But I just got to call it like I see it, man. He looks good. So you have to keep some things in perspective. For example, Jared texted me and said, where's Treshawn Hamilton? I don't know. Did we say Hamilton earlier? I said that wrong. Is that right? Is that why Jared – is he messing with me?
I don't know, but it's Harrison.
Yes, it is Treshawn Harrison, just to be clear. And he's definitely a guy who deserves mention, okay? And he's gotten some reps. It's not like he's only getting like threes reps or anything. You know, he's gotten some work with various groups and things like that. He's made a lot of plays. So I give him credit for sure. I think I kind of wanted to keep this a little bit to people who are realistically going to be on this roster, you know? And I just don't see how he is. But I agree. I mean, he's been very good. Like Mason Kinsey has had in multiple camps now with the Titans has been very impressive out there too. So, you know, is Mason Kinsey going to be on this team? No, neither is Harrison. But he, I agree that he's done some good things.
How much has – because we heard John Glennon talk about this earlier, and I'm interested to get your viewpoint on it. How much has your opinion on what Treylon Burks could be now, this year, changed based on what you've seen in the back part of the spring and certainly now into camp, albeit just a week into camp at this point?
Well, I think some – I'm still holding off on, you know, whatever, what was the term that, you know, more explosive or whatever than AJ Brown, like, you know, I'm holding off on, well, he's just going to come in and this year everybody's going to be like, yep, forget about AJ Brown, you know? I mean, you still have to see it week after week in this league, in games, and until you see that, you just don't know for sure that it's going to happen. But it's hard to imagine as I watch him out there when he runs routes and as he's catching everything and being very physical. And, of course, again, there's no tackling to the ground and stuff like that. But he can out-muscle a lot of people. And he just looks to really have a great grasp of things, not just, you know, routes in the offense, but also, you know, you're going to get zone. I mean, there's a lot of things that you have to adjust to, obviously, depending on what you see from coverage. And he just looks very confident. So, yeah, I'd say some. I'm not sitting here projecting 90 catches for 1,800 yards, but I think it would be disappointing, hashtag if healthy, that he doesn't have a 1,000-yard season.
Well, and look, that dynamic, those two specifically, talking Burks and Hopkins, that's to me a lot of – you know, we've had a lot of people ask us today, do we think the Titans are going to win the AFC South? To me, a lot of it comes down to the answer to that question. How dynamic are Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins together? Because if Treylon Burks takes what he's doing in training camp and he takes that to the regular season and he stays healthy and he's an absolute bona fide weapon out there for you, like, I think we know what a baseline of what Hopkins is going to be if he's healthy. Like, if those two are really good, then I really like the chances for the Titans to win the AFC South. Like, if you can have a passing game that people are actually scared of and pay attention to on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, to me, that could be the difference in whether or not the Titans win the AFC South. I know the offensive line is going to play a big part into that, but, like, so much of what I think this team comes down to offensively relies on those two, Burks and Hopkins, and how big of a dynamic duo that they're going to be together. So, like, if I'm a Titans fan and I'm watching these videos coming out of training camp and I'm hearing John Glennon talk about it and I'm hearing you talk about it of Treylon Burks and what he's doing, again, it's training camp. You pump the brakes. You wait till it actually counts and the games matter. But I'd be pretty encouraged by the Burks part of this because if he clicks this year, I think the Titans are going to have a pretty good passing game.
Yeah, and I agree. And by the way, with Hopkins – I did not consider him part of the Stairway to Heaven Freebird exclusive territory. He's been good, no doubt. He looks good out there. I think the fact that he's practicing daily out there every time means something for sure. Like I said earlier,
yep.
There was a play yesterday where it should have been a Tannehill to Hopkins touchdown. I thought maybe Tannehill threw it so far. It wasn't like way behind him, but it looked like maybe they had a miscommunication on the route. But actually, Vrabel talked about it, brought it up with some of the question about. I think Vrabel was asked a question about when the young quarterbacks make a mistake or something, and he's like, "Well, Ryan, you know, missed that throw to Hopkins, so that was just a Tannehill miss." But Hopkins, he looks good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if we extended it to 10, he'd be in there too. I think it's also like. Again, it's relative to expectations. You know what Hopkins has been in this league.
Right.
He looks good. I mean, he looks very good, and I'm with you. I think Hopkins, Burks, steady diet of those guys week after week, Tannehill's going to like that. I mean, Tannehill's going to have options. You add in Phillips. You add in Chig. You have Spears to give you a little different look in tandem with Henry, and then we get back to the absolute fundamental question about this team. Can they block?
Well, and I was going to ask you, you know, how far down your list do you think you'd have to go until you get to an offensive lineman that stands out?
Yeah. Like I said, when I was doing play-by-play earlier, out of the notebook, you know, Skaronski at times is uprooting people. He put Peavy on skates yesterday, Jaden Peavy on skates at one point. I think Brewer, again, I think the interior of the offensive line, in particular yesterday, you had pads, and there were some seams. And even, like, the reaction of the offense to some of these plays. Some of it, like a play, sometimes it's like it doesn't – like, you're not finishing these plays. They're not taking running backs to the ground. So sometimes it's like, okay, you can't even tell necessarily about what happened or that much happened. But they had some big reactions to some of the movement they got on the interior of that line on some running plays. And so I think right now I would separate the interior and the exterior and say, you know, the tackles are the big questions right now. The interior right now, I think there's some things happening that are pretty positive. But, yeah, you'd go far. It's like, how do you – you know, it's hard to get the standout. Now, if Dillard's out there and he is just stonewalling Key or stonewalling Landry or both of them, then there's where you could have an offensive line standout. And let me tell you, that's not happening.
Josh in Kentucky on the text line says, the Titans have had a lot better offense than what people are giving them credit for. Burks, Hopkins, Chig, Spears, and oh yeah, that guy named Derrick Henry is a group a lot of teams would take today over what they have. Chig and Burks are going to open some eyes this year for sure. This from Josh in Kentucky on the text line. I would still say, even though I think it's great to be excited about Burks, all those things, Okonkwo, we saw toward the end of last year what he was capable of. There's still a lot of unproven guys with this Titans offense, right? Like, you know, Burks is unproven. Chig is unproven. I think there's reason to be excited about Tyjae Spears and the different element he can bring, but he's a rookie. I mean, he's never played in the NFL before. Even Skaronski, right? Like, Skaronski, I think, is going to be fine and is going to be a really good player, but he's a rookie as well. So there's still the step of taking it from practice, in camp, staying healthy, and doing it on a consistent basis week in and week out in the NFL. Like, Treylon Burks still has to prove that. Chig Okonkwo still has to prove that. So, you know, I wouldn't anoint them just yet, but it is something to be really encouraged about. And it's a far cry from the offensive weapons that we were talking about, you know, this time 2 months ago and the concerns that we had on that side of the ball from a skill position standpoint.
Yeah. No, it looks better for sure. I got to read Brent from Franklin's text. Do y'all have any other content than talking Hopkins 24/7? If I wanted to be bored, I'd listen to Jared Stelman. First of all,
I responded and I said, we've talked about Hopkins for 3 minutes today in a show that's been 2 hours and 24 minutes to this point.
Receiver who shall not be named. I think people got sick of Hopkins talk when it was like, will he sign with the Titans? Did he visit the Patriots? Where's he going?
Voldemort.
Are we not allowed to talk to him because now that he's on the team? He's kind of a big deal.
Take more of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Tim Kelly will be joining the podium at about 8:45 over at St. Thomas Sports Park, so we'll get you caught up on that conversation. Titans offensive coordinator as well. Speaking of Tim Kelly, we'll have some thoughts on the Titans offense and what that could look like coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Tim Kelly, Titans offensive coordinator, scheduled to speak with the media at about 8:45, so we'll carry that conversation for you live here on the show. Speaking of Tim Kelly, Joe, a lot of talk in the spring. Ryan Tannehill brought this up, some other members of the offense. Chig Okonkwo brought this up, of the offense, how different it could look, maybe the changing of the system, all those things, and a different terminology. It's going to be really interesting to see what that offense looks like this year, the feel that Tim Kelly has for the game from a play-calling standpoint, and I guess just simply how much different or maybe not different it is from the system they've been running the past few years, both with Arthur Smith And then with Todd Downing as the offensive coordinator, I'm very interested to see how much different it is with Tim Kelly in charge of the offense heading into this season.
Yeah, you got to be careful talking about schematic stuff. I mean, it's, again, it's really like the rules are pretty clearly stated on one, you know, video is only happening during individual. There's no video allowed, or pictures for that matter, during 7-on-7, during team, route combinations, formations, all these things. NFL teams are very, now granted, fans can go out there and watch what they're doing. So it's not like this is Fort Knox, but still, you know, like I want to take care in talking about the offense. I will say that, and I think I said some of this after the spring, it definitely looks different. I think I definitely have shades of Houston's offense when Deshaun Watson was quarterback at times. I do think that – I think Derrick Henry is going to have some different kinds of running plays. And, you know, I think it could be effective. We'll see. Well, everything you talk about with this offense ultimately funnels back to, are you blocking anybody, right? But I think it will look different. And what I don't know are things like, you know, the plan for, like, running back, I mean, just, like, usage of Henry. I think play action is going to go up, and I think it should go up. I think there's going to be more moving people around, and then you got to have obviously less predictability. You got to be really good at doing your bread and butter things, of course. But yep. It's going to be fascinating to watch it unfold. But just in general terms, it's different for sure. Different isn't always good. I think different in some ways would have a hard time not being better this year than last year. Some of the things, and again, some of those things are traced in part to limitations with personnel and bad luck and injuries and all these things. But they needed a reset, and I don't know that enough's been made of that. You know, Vrabel comes in and it's LaFleur, which kind of felt like John Robinson really wanted to get in on that offense and those little geniuses, little crew of geniuses, as people
don't
like
get me started on that guy.
Yeah, but yeah, he would. I mean, it's not like he was. I thought he was a fine OC here. You know, eventually they figured out Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry had to figure out Derrick Henry more than anything, despite what anyone else may tell you. But that offense has been the offense, and now they're going to the Earhart Perkins Houston New England offense. And you know, it'll be interesting, like just for on Sundays, like how different does it look? You know, I mean, as we've discussed so much, you know, you're going to see Derrick Henry taking the ball on an outside zone running play, and it's probably going to look a lot the same. It's not like the different offenses in this league are vastly, different from each other in a lot of ways. There's a lot of similarities, a lot of copycatting, a lot of the same things. But, you know, RPO, that's another question with this offense. I'm intrigued. I've seen different things, and I think it might be a lot less easy to pin down, which is what the Titans need.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall and to hear the conversation whenever it was that Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly talked about being, you know, Tim Kelly coming in and stepping in as the offensive coordinator. I would have loved to have heard that conversation just because, you know, I do think it's clear from the actions that Vrabel took, the rearranging of the coaching staff, bringing in Charles London, all these things. I think it's clear that Vrabel took a look at the offense last year and said, beyond just the injuries and the personnel, it's time to shake some things up. And I think it's clear that that was the approach that Vrabel took. Now, also, Tim Kelly was here last year, and he was the passing game coordinator, and he was at least, you know, a part of what that offense looked like last year, albeit maybe a small part. So I would love to know what that conversation was like of, you know, how much what they did last year that they want to keep and they want to continue to implement in their offense. How much from Tim Kelly's time in Houston do they want to try to run? Like that conversation of how much different things actually need to be you know, we'll never know, and Vrabel won't tell us that, obviously. But I would love to have been a fly on the wall and to hear that conversation between Vrabel and Tim Kelly.
Yeah, for sure. And look, any good coach, you have to adjust your personnel. So even though, you know, it's the Houston system, the New England system, such different personnel. They never had a running back that they were built around. They had a variety of backs in there. They had a dynamic quarterback, the best receiver in the league. You know, and it's just so it was very different. And also, even with just like route combination, things like that, 5 years ago in the NFL to now, and that in some ways, that's like 20 years, you know? It's constant adjusting, cat and mouse, back and forth, cyclical things. So you constantly have to evolve, but you're right. It is interesting, too, that you know people forget Kelly was here last year as part of that offense. And that's another thing. Like when the Titans reached out to Kelly, you know, when they ultimately hired Downing, was Vrabel resolved or at least definitely thinking strongly about switching up the offense at that point? I mean, I think this is also, you know, it's so much about like what you do to build around your players, but also to game plan on a weekly basis, to call the plays on that Sunday under the pressure. The scheme, I think, is overrated, right? I mean, like, the terminology defines a scheme. This is different terminology with this. There's a certain terminology tradition with this offense. It goes back to the 70s and the Patriots. I mean, go back and watch this offense with New England or whoever, the Giants, you know, through the years. It's so different, right? So it's really just like this is the baseline. Maybe these are some bread and butter plays. This is the terminology. And then you adjust to all these different factors that constantly evolve.
Well, and I've said this before too, and I know it's a different coordinator now, but you know, Tannehill and having a dedicated slot guy, right? Like we've talked about that for years. They tried it with Adam Humphries, with Mariota, and then, you know, Tannehill taking over, I think was the last year that Adam Humphries was there. And when he was on the field, he was fine and he made some big plays for the Titans. He's hurt all the time. And last year in training camp, Kyle Phillips was maybe the story of the whole camp. First game against the Giants, he looks really good. And Tannehill, he's his favorite target. Now, then he gets hurt. So they've never really had like that dedicated slot guy when Tannehill has been the quarterback that's been able to be there consistently and stay healthy. Now, I know they put A.J. Brown in the slot and they move guys around and they'll do that with Burks and Hopkins and all those things this year. But I am interested to see how much difference that makes. You know, I'm not saying Kyle Phillips is going to have like 1,000 yards or anything like that, but when it's 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, and you need to move the chains, and they're doubling Traylon Burks or whatever it is, you know, how big of a difference can having that dedicated slot guy be for Ryan Tannehill? Because they've never really had that since he's been the quarterback.
Yeah. So imagine Burks and Hopkins being really good together and then Chig being what they hope he is. And then you got a 3rd and 4. So you got, well, go back to the Chiefs AFC title game. 2 4th and mediums were converted Tannehill to Adam Humphries. It was like, I know he's getting open, and I'm going to put it right there. We got good chemistry, and it's going to move the chains. So all those factors there, what kind of a matchup is Kyle Phillips going to get? What kind, you know, like, you can't, I mean, it's why it can be so valuable. So, yeah, I wouldn't underrate what he could mean to this offense this year. As always, hashtag if healthy. Robert says, obviously Tim Kelly was here last year under Todd. Why would he want to vastly improve Todd's OC capabilities whenever he was probably looking for an OC job after Todd? Well, okay, but so you're saying he was trying to undermine him? So really last year the story was actually Tim Kelly's sabotage of the offense. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to do a good job for your employer, whatever your job is in a given year, or you probably aren't going to be in the league long, right?
He was the passing game coordinator, though. Nah, the passing game wasn't great.
You're not wrong. That was the title.
What does it mean?
Fair point. Who knows? I don't know.
Joe Rexroad, have yourself a wonderful day at Titans camp today. Looking forward to another edition of Joe's Notebook coming up on tomorrow's program.
Yes, I will try to scribble less illegibly to myself. Thank you.
Yes. Coming up next, we'll hopefully hear from Tim Kelly, offensive coordinator, Craig Aukerman, Jared Stillman's favorite coach and Titans team special teams coach, is up at the podium right now. Tim Kelly's scheduled to speak here in just a few minutes. Titans offensive coordinator. We will carry that live for you here on Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside executive producer Nick Keiser. Joe Rex Road on his way to St. Thomas Sports Park for another day of Titans training camp. Craig Aukerman, special teams coach for the Titans, addressing the media at the moment. And Tim Kelly, offensive coordinator, scheduled to speak with the media here in just a few minutes. Shane Bowen, defensive coordinator, scheduled to speak with the media just around 9 o'clock. So lots of Titans media availabilities today with some assistant coaches, Rabel, and players speaking after practice as well. So we'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. When Tim Kelly is up at the podium, we will have that covered for you here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And Nick, I'm interested to see, you know, Joe just spent a lot of time talking about the offense, what that could look like this year. I am interested to see the difference when Tim Kelly implementing his system and what that could mean for really the passing game specifically. You know, the running game, obviously that you can have different concepts and, you know, you can run the ball different ways, different points of attack, all those things. But I'm really interested to see what it means for the passing game with Burks and Okonkwo and Hopkins and Phillips and the different ways they try to attack defenses that way this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it looks like we just had Craig Aukerman step away. So, Robbie, I'll toss it over to Tim Kelly when he is up. But, yeah, it's going to be intriguing to see what kind of approach Tim does have to the offense. And quite frankly, I'd like to see them, you know, bank some bigger plays down the field and take some bigger chances. And that might be something that he's asked more about. But I've liked the consistency throughout practice that we've gotten the theme of just from updates from all the different reporters. And I think it's encouraging to see that he is going to throw in some new things. And not only that, but someone like Tannehill is liking it as well. So we'll go ahead and toss it over here to Tim Kelly.
Tim, on the competition on the offensive line, now that you've got the pads on, how much of a difference does that make in trying to gauge what guys' strengths and weaknesses are?
Yeah, I think it makes a tremendous difference. Obviously, when you put the pads on, you get the feel and you get to see how physical these guys can be. You get a clearer picture of them being able to work in combination with one another in both the run game and the pass game. So, you know, up front for those guys putting the pads on, it's really the true litmus test for them for, you know, where they've been in terms of the past and now the strides that they made throughout the offseason. And yesterday, they really had their first chance of being able to go out there and show it, and they did a good job yesterday.
Was coming here.
Happy.
And then what was the process like in trying to? What has it been like in trying to get him up to speed with what they're doing here?
Yeah, I mean, he's done a great job. He's come in, you know, learning the formations, learning how we do things, learning some of the different concepts, you know, that he may not have had while we were together in Houston. But he's done a great job in the meetings, learning, taking notes, doing everything that he needs to do to make sure that he's learning the offense as a whole in its entirety. And really not just memorizing his particular job on that one particular play. So he's done a great job of coming in here and getting caught up to speed, and Rob's done a great job getting him ready to go.
What skill set does he maybe give you guys that maybe you didn't previously
have? Yeah, I think you know, he's a guy who's played at a very high level for consistently for you know, since he's been in the league. He's got a great catch radius. He's a physical player. He's durable, you know, up until – whatever happened, you know, last year, he, you know, when we were in Houston, I think he played in every game except for one, and that's because we held him out. He's tough. You know, he's a warrior when it comes to, you know, going out there on Sunday. So I think it's good for everyone to kind of see how he goes and how he plays the game, and it's been good so far, yeah.
How's Levis's consistency been day to day, and what do you see? How do you see him tracking?
Yeah, they've all three of those guys have put together a good camp so far. I know it's early, you know, with yesterday being the first day in pads and, you know, going into practice six, I think. But he's done a good job taking the strides and being more comfortable playing quarterback for us. So, but again, it's not just Whale. It's all three of those guys have come in this camp and have really done a good job, you know, being consistent and really taking charge and leading that huddle.
How exciting is it for you?
Hopkins kind of elevate the rest of the guys in that receiver.
Yeah. You know, it gets those guys, you know, playing at a higher level. Obviously, with him out here, you see some of the catches that he's made already in one-on-ones and the back shoulders and things along those lines. And then you look over and you see Traylon running by guys, and you see Kyle, like, it's just there's a sense of competition in that room in terms of wanting to make sure that they're going out there and winning consistently. And really, that's what we need. That's what we need them to do. That's their job, right? Is to be able to go out there, get open, win versus man-to-man coverage and catch the football. And so when you have a guy that, again, that's done at a high level, everyone wants to be able to play up to that standard.
Back to Levis, how exciting is it for you when you start to see the light come on for him? Because yesterday he was making the throws before the receivers came out of their breaks, and it was hitting them right in stride and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was good. It was, but again, it's one day. And we want to continue to see him, you know, do that again today. Same deal with Malik, same deal with Ryan. So anytime you're out there and you see your guys make strides and in areas that you've asked them to make, you know, improvement in, it's encouraging. Now, the big thing for him and for everybody, right, is to make sure that we're taking another step forward today.
On those second-year skill guys, how much more comfortable do they look just at not being their rookie year and kind of understanding the pace that you guys go through practice and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I know we've talked about this before, and really at every position, there's a learning curve from coming from college and playing in the NFL, from what it takes, you know, what it means to be in shape to be able to make it through an NFL practice, from what it means to actually, you know, learn the playbook and know what your job is and things along those lines. So all those guys from Malik to Kyle to Traylon to Chig, like they've all done a good job, obviously learning the lessons from last year and coming out and performing, you know, pretty well for us so far.
One of the things that Malik touched on last year was trying to get the ball out a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are definitely times where you see more anticipatory throws. He's not waiting for somebody to be open, which, you know, in this league, when you're doing that, a lot of times, I don't care how strong your arm is, you're going to be late. So he's, again, that was an area that we asked him to improve on. And throughout the first six or however many practices we've had, he's done a good job of coming out and you know, making those strides.
We talk about the passing game so much, but how important is it for you to stick to the fact that Derrick Henry has been the focal?
Yeah, it'd be you know, foolish of me to not play to our strengths. You know what I mean? And obviously having Derek here, we got to make sure that we're putting him in the best spot to be able to continue to have the high level of success that he's had throughout his career. So, you know, that's something that we're working on as a staff, and that's something that we're not going to forget is understanding who we are and kind of what the backbone is of our identity.
With that being said, do you think we're still in the days where 30 carry weeks for him are
going to happen? I mean, if it means that's what we need to do to win the game, like that's going to be the biggest thing for us on offense is making sure that we're doing whatever it takes to be able to go and win that game based upon the game plan, based upon, you know, the vision of Coach Vrabel, and making sure that we're doing whatever we have to do to win.
And Mike has talked about too the emphasis of playing faster and moving at a little quicker pace. How does that impact the offensive line in that setup?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that it does. Obviously, I mean, it forces them to they've got to make sure that they're in shape and have a high level of conditioning. But when you're able to do some things, whether it's changing tempos or get in and out of the huddle faster, whatever it may be, that could cause a certain level of discomfort on the other side of the ball. And so, you know, when they're not sitting there getting screwed in, it could cause some consternation up front for the defensive lineman, which in turn would make their offensive line job easier. So there's a lot of things that go into it. But again, I can't stress enough, those guys have done a good job of again, learning what the expectation is, learning the new concepts, the new schemes. And again, the big thing for them is to come out and have another good day with the pads on today.
All right, that was Titans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. That's going to do it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road, the Chase McCabe Show up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.